which one I love the best. I tear open my shirt and I show a rosy on my chest, cause I'm a wanderer, yeah, a wanderer.
You ever wander from time to time? I think we all do. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on a rainy Wednesday in Tampa Bay, May the 15th. So glad you are joining us. Got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Taylor Barkley of the Abundance Institute is going to join us. We are going to talk with him about a U.S.-China get-together purportedly focusing on the risks of artificial intelligence. The meetings began yesterday. We'll find out how they are going. Stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And the presidential debates are on. The Biden administration, believe it or not, proposed two debates with Donald Trump. He has accepted. We are going to talk about all the details. Stay tuned for that. And a Chinese survivor of the Mao Zedong regime says she is having, well, she's having cultural surge flashbacks watching what's going on these days on college campuses. Is that a foreboding, a sign of things to possibly come? We're going to talk you, we're going to tell you all about it. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best U.S. cities to retire to in 2024. We'll do that at the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Great haircut, great price, great ambiance. Call first for your appointment, please, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. I know them. They are terrific people. Whether you have tree enhancement needs, you want to remove trees, you got a stump grinding issue, if it has to do with a tree, I am telling you, because I've used them, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. Well, one of the many reports on prices has come out. Inflation apparently easing a little bit in April for the first time in several months, a welcome sign that the Fed, even as prices remain uncomfortably high for millions of Americans, will not choose to raise rates again, at least in the short term. The Labor Department said today that the Consumer Price Index, which is a broad measure of how much everyday goods are costing you, like groceries, gasoline, rent, those prices rose about 0.3% in April from March. Now, that is lower than what they expected, so I guess it's good news if you expect worse news. Prices, though, climbed 3.4% from a year ago. That's not good news, in my opinion, although they claimed down from the 3.5% last month from a year ago. Another data point measuring the underlying inflationary situation also moderated. So-called core prices, that includes the more volatile things like gasoline and food, and they increased about 0.3% in April from the same time last year. Anyway, let's face it, I don't care what Joe Biden is telling you. Inflation ain't good. Prices are high. Everybody knows it. There is a malaise. And that term, the last time I heard that term used on an ongoing basis was during the Jimmy Carter administration. But there is a malaise blanketing our country. Well, former President Trump said yes, he has accepted Joe Biden's offer to debate. Yes. Joe has decided he does want a debate, and he wants the debates in June and September. The proposal was outlined by the Biden campaign in a letter to the Bipartisan Commission on Presidential Debates this morning. It abandoned the decades-old tradition of three debates. They only want two. Trump had said it was time for a debate to take place, even if it has to be held through the offices of the commission, which he says is totally controlled by Democrats. And he says, as people remember, it got caught cheating with him on sound levels on the stage. I don't remember that, but apparently he thinks they did. Trump said, I'm ready to go. The dates that they propose are fine. Anywhere, anytime, any place. He said, let's see if Joe can make it to the stand-up podium. He said, the proposed June and September dates, fully acceptable to me. I will provide my own transportation. He says, crooked Joe Biden is the worst debater I've ever faced. He can't put two sentences together. He said, crooked is also the worst president in the history of the United States by far. So one thing about Trump, he lets you know where he stands.
Well, a couple of things on that, that stand out is the fact that, I don't know if you saw the video message that he sent out where he says, you know, he'll debate him anywhere, anytime. It was taped, of course, and then Trump's response, of course, was live. The other thing, too, is with everything that Trump is going through with the issues in New York City, with the law and everything, that Biden has always maintained he has nothing to do with it. He doesn't know what's going on. It's up to them, blah, blah, blah. In his video message, one of the last thing he says is, I'll debate you anywhere, anytime. I hear you're not busy on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
That just tells me he knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You just tipped your cards, bud.
He did.
I thought you didn't know what was going on. But you know what days he's got off?
Wednesdays. Right? The Biden-Harris campaign proposed that the first debate be late June. Allegedly, or supposedly, after Trump's New York trial has ended. And after Biden returns, apparently he's going to meet with world leaders at the G7 summit. Then the second debate would be in September, prior to the beginning of early voting. Well, that's probably a good deal. The campaign also proposed a vice presidential debate. I would like to see that one with Kamala Harris. And then I would count the number of times she awkwardly laughs during the conversation. Here's what Jolton Joe had to say. Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he has not shown up for a debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Apparently, that was the video you're talking about.
Yeah, he's doing a disservice to Clint Eastwood. If I was Clint Eastwood, I'd sue.
And as you said, he went on to say, I'll even do it twice, so let's break the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
With
the debates are on.
With Kamala, I would bet that the one she fears she would ever have to debate is Ramaswamy. He would tear her a new one.
Yeah, he's pretty good on his feet.
I don't know if he'll get the VP, but I would still put him up there anyway.
Do you think he has a chance?
I think he's in the mix.
Do you?
If he's not VP, he's going to be somewhere high in one of those.
I think
I think
they're going to find a spot for him.
I think he should be doing with what John Paul Jones is doing right now.
John Paul Jones. I love the names that we give all of the, especially the press secretary. I used
what's
to call
name?
Jen Psaki Peppermint Patty. Do you remember that?
Well, that that was night at band camp. But John, was it John?
Pierre, now you got me mixed up. Jean-Pierre St. Ives or something? I don't remember.
Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, is it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Yes. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. She has been called by some people the worst press secretary in the history of the presidents. Oh, well. It'll be... I will watch that debate, both of them. I will watch those debates. I just to see how Biden responds.
I can hear the questions now. Mr. President, how was your breakfast this morning? It was fine. Now, Mr. Trump, about the economy.
Mr. Trump, about all these charges against you that should put you in jail for 75 years. Let's talk about that a little bit. Well, anyway, I wonder why Biden has agreed to them at this point. He's looking probably at the numbers and finally realizing
if anybody
that I don't know, things are not going to get better. He might as well try and debate. Maybe that'll help him.
Whatever they either injected him with or gave him before the State of the Union, they better double the dosage. And I don't even know if that's going to be enough.
Yeah, right. That'll be very interesting. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Taylor Barkley of the Abundance Institute will be here to talk about a U.S.-China get-together focusing on the risks of artificial intelligence.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a rainy Wednesday in Tampa Bay, and we thank you so very much for tuning in. Drive carefully if you're in the Tampa Bay area. We've got the on and off rainstorms here. We desperately needed that water, and it has finally arrived. Delighted to have Taylor Barkley join us. He is the Director of Public Policy at the Abundance Institute, and we are going to talk with Taylor about these China-U.S., I guess you would call them artificial intelligence safety talks that are going on right now. And Taylor is a bit cynical about these talks and where they may end up. Taylor, welcome to Freedom Works.
Great to be back on the show, Paul. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. So I guess yesterday these talks were scheduled to start. I have not read much about them. Have they started, number one? Number two, what do you think they are hoping to accomplish with these talks? Are they really interested in finding some sort of mutual agreement on security?
Great questions. So back in November, President Biden and President Xi kind of kicked off this process of China and the United States having, you know, high-level diplomatic talks on the use of artificial intelligence systems and, you know, economic applications, military applications. You know, China and the U.S. are the AI, you know, superpowers. Although I will state up front, you know, the U.S. is by far and ahead leading this AI development race, and China's on the back foot. So that's the context, you know, to keep in mind as all these talks are being disclosed in the news. And, you know, what happened yesterday was the launch of the start of these official diplomatic talks between, it seems like, mid-level officials from the U.S. and mid-level officials from the Chinese government. And just, I think, the first day from the early reports that I've read, you know, there's not a lot of, like, official news reports yet coming out. So I'm looking at, you know, X posts from folks who are keeping a close eye on these things. It's the first day is laying out all the issues to be discussed and going from there. And, yeah, as you mentioned, I think a lot of this will, you know, eventually focus on military applications. How AI should be integrated into weapon systems, perhaps, maybe coming up with rules of the road. And then also, China is under extreme pressure from the U.S. government due to export controls. They need the advanced chips that the U.S. is manufacturing in order to keep up on AI development, and they just don't have that. So, my perspective is, you know, the Chinese can't and shouldn't be trusted in these talks to follow up on any agreements. And the path to keep AI safe is to have the U.S. be the leader in AI development.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where we're at right now.
Yep. In fact, you had said, if I might quote you, what an absolute Trojan horse. China has continually demonstrated itself to be a bad partner in bilateral agreements. I couldn't agree with you more. How we can go over there with a straight face and say, you know, yeah, we're willing to talk and let's arrive at some sort of mutual agreements. Like you say, man, watch your wallet when you're over there.
That's right. You know, I think the Chinese Communist Party has nothing. Has everything to gain here and not much to lose, where I think the U.S. is on the other side of that equation. And, you know, the U.S. is leading in AI development. You know, the top universities are here in the U.S., the top companies. You know, I often think about the counterfactual example. What if ChatGPT 2 years ago was released by a Chinese company? How much different we would all feel right now, you know, having this advanced large language model, AI system come from China. But instead it came from the U.S. because that's because we have this bottom-up permissionless innovation policy and cultural framework that allows the most talented technologists and entrepreneurs to develop and deploy these tools.
Yeah.
Where the Chinese approach, you know, back in 2017, President Xi outlined an AI plan that had, you know, distinct paths to lead to, as he's put it, you know, Chinese leadership in artificial intelligence by 2030. And that top-down approach, so far, doesn't seem to be working out so well.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not even sure. What the heck are they really going to... I mean, it would be interesting to see how they start off these talks. I mean, artificial intelligence, such a broad term, artificial intelligence. I mean, are we going to talk about artificial intelligence when it comes to launching missiles? Are we going to talk about it when it comes to chat rooms? I mean, have they narrowed down the focus a little bit of what they mean by artificial intelligence so that when they get there, they're not wasting everybody's time?
That's a great point, Paul. It sounds like you understand this issue well, because that is often where people get tripped up. Yeah, AI captures a lot of different tools. You know, a spell checker could be considered AI broadly enough to find checkers, you know. I imagine they're talking about maybe the hardware required to develop AI systems. They're probably, and, you know, can China get more chips, advanced chips? I imagine the answer is already no. And officials have said, leading into these talks, it is non-negotiable. We're not going to let off the pressure when it comes to allowing Chinese companies to purchase U.S. advanced chips. So they've laid a clear kind of line in the sand there. But, you know, the military applications is, you know, that's what a lot of people are discussing and anticipating, because I was moderating this panel last year with an officer from Army Futures Command, and, you know, he and, you know, that division of the military, they're paying intense attention to military application of AI systems. You know, I remember what he said is, you know, no matter what our adversaries do, the U.S. is always going to have a human in the loop, a human who would make that final decision to launch a weapon. But, you know, this officer also said, you know, doesn't count on the adversaries following those guidelines.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I imagine that sort of discussion will come up eventually, probably not in these early stages. You know, I'm not a diplomatic expert. That's not my realm of expertise. But just kind of paying attention to what those who do know that field are saying, I imagine that's going to be a major point of discussion down the road. the use of AI systems to, if they make the call to launch a missile or fire some sort of weapon.
Right. We're talking with Taylor Barkley. He is the Director of Public Policy at the Abundance Institute, and we're talking about these China-U.S. talks. They started yesterday. They're in Geneva, Switzerland. You know, it's interesting. Just the other day, Biden comes out, of course, as you've alluded to, and he's going to drop tariffs on China, especially with computer chips and some other things, which seems to be possibly one of his last-minute desperation moves to maintain his place in the White House in November. But with that going on, here we go wandering over there to talk with them. I would think that would put the Chinese in a foul mood.
I think you're right, yeah. The timing is worth noticing on that. And these latest tariffs are adding on to these export controls I've alluded to earlier, where, you know, NVIDIA is prohibited from, you know, NVIDIA, for example, one of the top advanced chip manufacturers, is prohibited from making unauthorized sales to Chinese companies of their most advanced chips, which are necessary for these most of, you know, these advanced AI systems. Now, if you're using ChatGPT, you know, which announced a new model on Monday, they're running on these advanced chips that, you know, cost tens of thousands of dollars a piece, and you know, China is, from what I understand, is about 5 to 10 years away from, I'd say around 5 years from being able to manufacture these kinds of chips on their own. And they don't have any leading AI models right now. They're, in fact, using open source AI large language models that are developed by companies like Meta and other entities to kind of jumpstart their own AI LLM development. So they're really reliant on U.S. being the leader here. And I mean, that's just such a, it's just a stark contrast and example. Once again, you know, history is proven over and over that centralized control does not lead to economic prosperity. It's you know, systems of freedom and entrepreneurship and allowing inventors to create and make money off of their products that it leads to human progress.
Yeah, indeed.
Human flourishing.
You know, that's a very interesting point you're making, and I was thinking about that. When you're a socialist government, socialist country, you actually, in some ways, I'm thinking, if you have any military colonial ambitions and you're a socialist country, it actually works against you to be as good as you can be. And maybe that's a good thing. If China is busy being socialist and keeping their own people down, it does not allow them to do the innovation and perhaps, you know, get the, get newer weapons and get things that entrepreneurs would create, because by its very nature, it keeps you down. It keeps you from wanting to be an innovator if you live in China. I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's how I view it as well. I think there's this, you know, not allowing Chinese people to speak freely. You know, there's intense controls on social media, on news articles, on where and what, when people can assemble and exchange ideas or protest actions from the government. You know, the Chinese government, as you know, is interning Muslim minorities, the Uyghur people, and northeastern China, and just these taking over, annexing Hong Kong, essentially. There's this expansion of the Chinese Communist Party, and we're worried about Taiwan. Are they going to invade Taiwan and try and bring it back into the fold as they see it? That this top-down control, this illiberal, freedom-crushing communist mentality, they're paying a price economically.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, we talked about, wow, China's on this track to really, you know, be the next global economic superpower. But now, the cracks are beginning to show. Not enough people are having children in China to replace population. The population's getting older. You know, people aren't excited to invent, because why invent something if it's just going to be taken by the state?
There you go. Exactly.
if your top career aspiration is to be a politician and part of the, you know, the Politburo and the Communist Party, that's not going to lead to great economic outcomes. So, you know, I will say, too, just, you know, what we're talking about, the Chinese, they are graduating more AI specialty undergraduates. So that's one area in which, you know, the Chinese are quote, beating the U.S. But I'd say, you know, they're entering into this top-down controlled system where maybe, you know, the state is going to say, hey, AI graduate, you need to be developing this thing instead of that thing that you're actually passionate about. Maybe we'll stay up late, work weekends to create. And that will lead to, I think, a poor outcome in the long run.
Yeah.
So it's tragic to see. I mean, we're talking about people who are oppressed and can't speak their minds.
Absolutely right. So it sounds like you feel that these talks between China and the U.S. on AI will end with a whimper rather than with a bang.
I think so. You know, these are early days. I would say again, you know, China has the most to gain here because they're on the back foot when it comes to developing AI, and the best way to ensure safe AI systems is for the United States to be to be and remain the leader. And that means the United States politicians and regulators need to be very, very, very cautious and careful before instigating new regulations that could slow down the development
there you
of
the
go. AI system. So I think I think you're right. There will be I don't expect a lot to come out of these next couple of days, but you know, over the next couple of years, the Chinese are going to be clamoring hard to get as many concessions as possible from the U.S. so they can slow us down. And so I think that's the thing to pay attention to here, and just remember that, you know, best AI systems are when the U.S. is leading.
Well, it's a huge, huge issue, artificial intelligence. I'm sure we'll be talking again down the road about it, Taylor. Thank you so very much.
I would love to.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming back on, buddy, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Taylor Barkley. All righty, we're going to take our break. And by the way, speaking of China, when we come back, among other things, there's a Chinese survivor of the Mao Zedong regime, and she says she's having cultural surge flashbacks watching what's going on these days on college campuses. So we're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
So delighted you're joining us here on Freedom Works. Hi, I'm Paul Malloy, along with Big Ed Davis. And so the White House has been taking a look at some of these poll numbers, these surveys. The White House is blaming the pandemic and Russia's war with Ukraine on some of the reasons why good old Jolting Joe Biden's poll numbers aren't better. Press Secretary John Paul Jones, that's who we call Karine Jean-Pierre, came up with the excuses yesterday's White House press briefing when she was quizzed about Biden's alarming numbers. A recent New York Times poll that they joined with the Philadelphia Inquirer and Siena College to conduct found that Trump was ahead of Biden in Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. It also found Trump ahead by about 3 points in Pennsylvania, by about 1 point in Wisconsin, among likely voters. If he wins four of those five states, it's over. Trump wins. And Biden leads Trump, according to the poll, Biden leads Trump in Michigan at this point by 1 point. But pretty much the numbers are favoring the Donald. The results of the poll, described as an absolute disaster by CNN senior data reporter Harry Enten. You know, I get a warm, perverse feeling when I'm flipping over to MSNBC and CNN, watching them read these poll numbers and watching them trying to explain why Donald Trump, who is in a New York courtroom on a hush money case, continues to pull ahead of Joe Biden. It's just, it's kind of a nice feeling, but it's kind of a strange feeling as well. Anyway, hey, we got both of them. I thought we wouldn't have either one, but we've got both Angelo and Andrew, the Ceraci brothers. Angelo is up in Rochester, New York. Andrew's down here in Florida. And, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? Are you surprised? Let me ask you this. Are you surprised, Angelo? Are you surprised that Joe Biden has told Trump, bring it on? He wants to do two debates with him?
Oh, yeah, he said, bring it on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, see if he gets convicted in this trial right in New York.
Trump.
Mm-hmm. Because if Trump gets convicted in New York, you know, which is, you know, hostile to Donald Trump anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he can always say, well, I'm not going to debate a convicted felon. You know what I'm saying? That's his way out. He's hoping that that's what's going to happen.
Is that what you think? You think that he would back out after saying, bring it on?
Oh, absolutely. He'll say, well, he's not qualified to be president. You know what I'm saying? He can't run for president. Why would I debate him? You know, all this stuff that they're doing to paint Trump, that he hangs around with porn stars, he hangs around with dishonest lawyers and cheats like that, you know, like Cohen. They're painting a picture that he's, you know, a terrible person. You know what I'm saying? Is this what you want? And if he gets convicted, then he's going to say, well, hey, why would I want to debate a convicted felon?
Okay.
He's not capable to run.
Huh, interesting point. What do you think, Andrew? Do you think that Biden might back out?
As long as he finds some of Hunter's stash, he'll be okay.
He'll juice himself up on a little coke and get out there, huh?
You know, he tried to make a little dig. He says, let's hold it out on Wednesday, Donald. I heard you're free on those days.
That's true. He did say that.
Yeah. You know what? Let me tell you something. Biden is tanked in his rating because the guy playing right sucks. The country's falling apart. Look at the mayor. Did you see the mayor in New York yesterday?
Yes.
He found jobs. He found jobs for the illegal immigrants.
Yes, no, he said they're excellent swimmers.
Yeah, they walk through 3 feet of water. He doesn't realize that. What's his problem?
Yeah.
This guy's nuts. Listen, New York is falling apart. This whole case is falling apart. Did you see where the judge says that the Republicans out there yesterday might be breaking Trump's gag order? Okay, because they're talking about the judge and everybody else out there. What do they got to do with the gag order? He can't say nothing to them.
That's
the First Amendment right, but he's going to try and make it a gag order.
I got a kick out of Trump reading comments from others. In other words, he can get up there and he can read the comments from other people about what's going on, and that way the judge can't censor him for giving his own opinion. You know what I mean? He says,
that's right. He's a very smart man. I guess the judge didn't realize what he's dealing with, did he?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You know, the judge is totally incompetent too, Paul, of what's going on. That case should have been thrown out. It should have been a mistrial. Listen, you had Michael Cohen yesterday. They tore him apart. Do you consider this a lie? Well, I falsified them a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, is that a lie or not? Well, you know, yeah, it was a lie. The guy is discredited. If this jury goes against Trump, these people are out of their minds.
New York is as corrupt as can be. Yeah, the whole judicial system in New York State is corrupt. I mean, you got that judge that is corrupt. They got all Democrats, on the jury. right? I mean, New York is a protective state. What do they call that?
Sanctuary state.
Sanctuary state. You know, I mean, it's all corrupt.
Yeah.
And then this is what, you know, they were talking about that on Gutfeld the other day, saying that this is what they're trying to paint a picture of Trump being, you know, hanging around with porn stars and everything, make him look out to really, really be bad. You know, and talking to the jury about how this is, and Cohen, you know, you saw how he perjured himself again yesterday. You know, he's just one of these people that is very adamant that he did not get a job in the Trump White House. You know, he wanted to be chief of staff or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So he's very vindictive.
Do you think, either one of you, do you think there's any chance that the judge will realize that this trial is going nowhere? They haven't even come up with an underlying crime, and indeed say, you know what? I am going to go ahead and say that and call a mistrial because, you know, where are you going with all of this? I mean, it's making it look like a clown court. It's making him look like a maybe even a bigger fool than he has been, this judge.
Well, this judge is taking orders from Letitia James and Governor Hochul. They're the two high people here in the state, you know, telling this judge what to do. And they're getting their orders from the DOJ and President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
They all stick together, you know. These people, they're corrupt. The Democrats are the most corrupt party in the United States. You can classify them as a communist. They're holding a kangaroo court like they would in Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia. Kangaroo court.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no crime. And they're looking to pin some kind of felony on all these 92 charges.
You would
they're
think
taking one sticks with it.
Yeah. You would think one of those 12 jurors would go to the others while they're sitting huddling in the jury room at some point.
You would think
what the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on here? What has he done? I mean, we got these clowns that have come up that the prosecution has brought up. Liars and porn stars, and we're supposed to convict this guy on what? Convict him of what? Paying off a porn star? He can do that. What's wrong with that?
You know, Paul, what amazes me is the poor Jewish people don't have enough against them right now going on in this country with all these college kids protesting against the Jews and everything else. You got Cohen, who's a Jew, making a total fool out of the Jewish people by saying what he's saying, doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
But these are the same people in New York State that have voted in the Democratic governors, the Democratic Assembly, and the New York State Senate.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people that keep voting these Democrats in are the ones that are going to try Donald Trump. Right?
Well,
they're going to pass judgment on Donald Trump. The same people that keep putting these idiots in office.
I could tell you who ruins New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, it was Rudy Giuliani.
You think?
When Rudy Giuliani got rid of the mafia for taking care of New York the way it was being taken care of, he went against his own people, and they tore it apart. When the mafia was running New York, New York was prosperous. Everybody was working. Dad had a good job. Mom stood home. Rudy Giuliani destroyed it because when the politicians got out of line, they were holding up a bridge with Jimmy Hoffa.
Bring back the mafia. Bring back the mob. Back to
you
Chicago. Back to New York. Back to LA. We need the mob. Well, that'll turn
Let me ask you a question. You're from Chicago.
Yes.
If Chicago brought back the mob, you think they'd be in the position they are today?
They'd probably be better off.
That's right.
They'd probably
be
better off.
No question about it. That's right.
I remember when Mayor Daley, who, you know, for many, many years, he certainly knew what was going on around him with all these mafiosos. Chicago survived during that period rather well.
That's right. They should tell you right there. And if Giuliani didn't do what he did, he wouldn't be in the position he's in today.
Well, you may be right about it. I never thought of that.
No question about it.
This judge and that whole court's
going to fall apart. You mark my words. When they're done getting done with Michael Cohen, they already proved he's a liar. He's sitting there, I lie all the time.
Yeah. No, I think
anybody,
you're right.
Any juror believes what he's saying. And did you see the judge told the jury, well, you have to listen to this point because I think he's sincere. Who is this guy? Yeah. Who the hell is he? Who the hell is he to say?
And what about this gagging Trump and not gagging Cohen, who goes on TikTok and all of these other things and wearing these stupid shirts and going out, you know, and...
He's made millions.
Painting pictures of Trump behind bars. Yeah, and he's making, he's conning for money on these shows, and the judge allows that, and he doesn't allow Donald Trump, the guy that's the defendant, to say anything about what's going on. You would think that the judge would have, if he had any self respect, would say this is a sham.
You know what, Paul?
He's a corrupt
you know what?
Democratic judge.
You know what, Paul? Mm-hmm. That's why Trump drew almost 100,000 people in New Jersey on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
If this trial keeps going the way it's going, he's going to draw 150,000 people in his next time.
You know, I think you're right. It's going, it's working for him. It's working for him.
You got, like, it's like P.T. Barnum said, even bad publicity is good. And you see
certainly.
Nothing but Trump everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. What a crazy, crazy country and world. Hey, guys, it's always a pleasure. I'm just delighted both of you were able to. I know you were busy today, Andrew. I do appreciate you finding time to come on.
And Paul, I gave these guys the fastest haircut they ever had in their life, buddy. Come on here. I don't want to miss this for nothing.
I thought so. Good for you. Hey, guys, thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Have a good day.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Angelo. Okay. There they go. All right. We're going to take our break, and I promise we're going to tell you about this Chinese survivor of the Mao regime. She's having some flashbacks regarding what's going on these days on college campuses.
Well, south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. It's Wednesday. Hope you're all feeling good these days. And by the way, we are here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we always appreciate it when you find time to tune in. But thanks to Big Ed, if you do not find the time and you still want to hear the show, you can go to our website, and Ed's got our shows on tape, on podcast. All you've got to do is go to ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R for our, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on that podcast button at the top. Ed's lined up all the shows, most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is, what we're going to talk to the guest about, and what the top 10 is. You got it all there. Bless Big Ed, ourfreedomworks.com. So, a survivor of Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution says she is experiencing post-traumatic stress watching history repeat itself on college campuses. She calls them Marxist hordes, these people that are protesting. She said, and by the way, she was interviewed on Fox News. She said, her name is Lily Tang Williams. Lily Tang Williams. She is running as a Republican candidate in New Hampshire for Congress in the 2nd District there. And she says she fears the country that she left, China, is coming back to haunt her again in the U.S. She says, I sometimes get nervous and I feel like I'm having a little bit of PTSD. And like I can't sleep well whenever I see the way they're chanting, they're using drums and using slogans, humiliating people, and have a huge amount of young people chanting death to America, not just death to Israel. She said, I just feel like, oh my goodness, the Red Guards are in action again. Now, the Red Guard was a massive student-led paramilitary social movement in China, mobilized by Mao back in the mid-60s. And they used young people. You know, they were one of the most effective tools. They would even tell on their parents. They were encouraged to tell on their parents if their parents were espousing views contrary to the little red book that Mao gave everybody. And she seems to be having flashbacks to that. She says, I think a lot of students protesting on campuses are confused, because that's what Mao said. The young people's mind is a blank piece of paper, and you can draw the most beautiful pictures on a blank canvas, adding that she thinks they are naive and easily manipulated. I think she's right. And but that's true. If you've got the kids, you know, the ones that are coming up, that are going to be the generation that'll be taking the jobs and going into all of the different positions, etc., and they're doing these kinds of things, you do worry about where we are going, right? Now, a lot of people talk about, well, we were demonstrating back in the 60s against the Vietnam War. Yeah, but we were sending our guys over to a war that a lot of us could not understand why we were going over there in the first place. And it involved saving lives, our own lives. So I think there was a big difference there. In this case, they're running around screaming, yelling, destroying things, vandalizing things, and talking about the Israelis trying to defend themselves fighting against Hamas. I mean, all you have to do is watch all of this and realize that there is something a little bit, what is the word, untoward that is afoot. You know, who's backing these people? Who's paying for the tents? Who's paying for all of the signs? They look like they're done professionally.
Yeah, right? these protests are not genuine.
No. Exactly right. Yeah. They are not. I wonder what percentage of these people that are running around on campus doing this really go to that school, too.
I don't understand why, when these people are arrested, why they're not following them up on them. Follow the money. These people are being arrested. They have to be funded. They have to be getting cash or checks or whatever. Somebody's got to flip.
You know darn well that if these were right-wingers that were doing anything untoward like this on campus, our Department of Justice would be on them like a fly on you know what.
But that's why they're all doing it in blue cities, because the law enforcement there is not going to, or the DA or whatever, is not going to press it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true.
Arrest them and release them. That's it.
I don't know. Why is the FBI director doing something, you know, and the Department of Justice? It's interesting how crickets coming from them. Mm. Okay. Ed, is there anything that we need to know about sports? The only thing we got going are our beloved Rays. Are they doing any better? I guess they lost.
They won, and then they lost. So they're teetering around 500, and that's where they're going to end up.
Yeah. So we're not getting real excited about them at this point.
I wouldn't.
What's the attendance been like for home games for them?
I'd say slightly above average.
Above?
Yeah, slightly above. Okay. But I don't know if it can handle a 500 season.
Yeah. I think we might see more empty seats, maybe. All right. It is time for our top 10. This, again, we've been using U.S. News, I must say, the magazine, for a bunch of top 10s. It's because they've been coming out with a bunch of top 10s. I got another one. Top 10 best places to retire. To identify the best places to retire, U.S. News analyzed data for the 150 largest metro areas in the country to assess how well they meet Americans' retirement needs and expectations. Top criteria include the happiness of local residents, housing affordability, tax rates, and health care quality, okay? So with that in mind, here we go. Number 10, Pittsburgh. And by the way, I'm going to tell you right up front, there are a whole host of cities in Pennsylvania on this list. So whatever it is that's going on in Pennsylvania, they like it. The overall score, I guess, on a scale of 0 to 10, Pittsburgh gets a 6.9 in overall. In housing affordability, they're a 7.1 out of 10, which, you know, the higher number is the better number. And in healthcare, 6.9. All right, number 9. Over to Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio. That's a blue-collar town. I know some people from there. The overall score, 6.9 out of 10. Housing affordability is really pretty good, 8.2. Healthcare, 6.5. Okay, number 8. Hey, Daytona Beach, Florida. Yeah, 7.0 for the overall score, 6.7 housing affordability, and healthcare, 5.5. Number 7, back to PA, York, Pennsylvania, a 7.0 overall, housing affordability, 6.5, healthcare, 8.3, good in healthcare. Number 6, would you believe the Big Apple is actually in here as a good place to retire? I'm not so sure. It would be awfully expensive, in my opinion, to retire there. But overall score, 7. Housing affordability is relatively low, 4.1. Ha! But healthcare is 10.
How about a minute?
They really believe healthcare is great. All right, number 5. Allentown, Pennsylvania. I've always wanted to retire to Allentown, PA. They've got a 7 for an overall score, a 6.2 for housing affordability, and pretty good with healthcare, 8.8. Number 4. I'm going to tell you right now, Ed, all of these, the rest of them are all in Pennsylvania. The next one's Scranton. Isn't that where Biden used to haunt?
Yeah.
7.0 for overall, 7.5 for housing affordability, and 7.4 for healthcare. Number 3. Lancaster, PA. Again, a 7.0 for overall, a 6.4 for housing, and a 8.3 for healthcare. Number 2. I got to go quick. Reading, PA, 6.7 affordability for housing, 8.3 healthcare. Number 1. Let's all go to Harrisburg, PA. 7.1 for overall, 6.8 housing, 7.9 healthcare. There you go. All right. Away we go. Thanks for listening. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. A challenge from President Biden.
Make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald.
In a campaign video, he proposes 2 presidential debates to be run by media outlets, not the nonpartisan commission that's been behind them for decades. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
This effectively means that the modern debate format and sponsor that's existed since 1988 is done. In the view of the Biden campaign, he will not be attending debates scheduled by the Commission on Presidential Debates to be held in September and October. They're the ones that have run debates with those traditional lecterns and one moderator or town hall format, whatever you prefer. Instead, what the president is now proposing is a debate in late June when he gets back from the G7 meetings in Italy, and another one in September around the time many Americans start getting their ballots to cast votes early.
Trump says he's ready and willing to debate, but the two campaigns differ.